Welcome to Awakenings Movement Podcast. Awakenings Movement is a community where dreamers become believers and believers become doers.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, it feels good to be here. It is, we've spent this month on a thematic series about scarcity and abundance. And we've had a poet in residence join us on this journey. And when we first started, Nine told me, I'm going to make you look good. So, Nine, I appreciate and I'm grateful to be able to work with you on this. So as he comes up to share his last installment, as we wrap up this series, would you all please help me welcome Nine to the rug?
Wayo! Good morning, guys. What's up? How are you living? I want to give a special shout out to everyone that has Chuck Taylors on right now. Give it up for yourselves. The coalition is in the building strong. It is proof that we love ourselves, yes. Can I get an amen? Let them use it. Okay. So this poem today is a little different from the other poems that I've shared because this poem is a testimony. And testimony is poetry of life. You know, when things happen to you, or when things happen with you or around you, that might be God's subtle way of saying, message, hey, you know. So we was talking about scarcity and abundance this whole month. And I have numerous stories, but I only have time for one. But if you want to hear my stories or if you have stories to share, please feel free to do such with members or with me or with anybody, you know, because it's healthy. So one day, you know, I do something like poetry, you know what I mean? I'm at the Poetry Lounge. It's my best friend's birthday. It's Joe P's birthday. So it seems like all of Texas is outside after the show's over, and we just chilling, and we just hanging, and we talking about how poetry was so live back in like 02, 03, 04, you know what I'm saying? When it was like all these names and all these people and all this, it was just great, you know? And I'm telling this guy who's new, you know, this is what it was, but today it's a little, you know what I'm saying? So he was like, dang, that's what's up. So we go to another conversation, and out of nowhere, the guy named Seven who started the Poetry Lounge, he started talking about how great and how live and how abundant it was and talent and all this lovely stuff, and now how scarce and how sparse it is today. And we had the same conversation. We was like, dang, that's crazy. So now we talking about other stuff. And this guy who doesn't have a home, he came up to us, and I've known him for like 13 years now, and he still ain't had a home, you know what I mean? But the difference was he walked up to us instead of wheeling up to us. And he was like, hey guys, how's it going? And I was like, hey, what's up, bro? How you been? How's your family? I ain't got no money today, but if I did have some money, I would give it to you, but God loves you, you know what I'm saying? And he was like, man, I just want to come up to y'all and say, y'all remember how loud the Shadow Bar days was? And we was like, hold up. Bro, you ain't even been in before, you know what I'm saying? Like, and he was like, but just the people and the sounds and everything. And Seven was like, well, how are you? Because I know you don't have no home. And he was like, the world is my home. I own my life. And just the fact that I've walked up to you today and not wheeled up to you today, I am abundant in love. I am abundant in joy. Today I walk, yesterday I wheel. He was like, these my wheels because I can park my car now. You know what I'm saying? His words, not mine. I'm not being funny. You know what I'm saying? That's what he told me. So I just wanted to share with you guys, you know, life, even though it may seem grim and it may seem hard and it may test you and it might be full of struggle, there's somebody out there that's struggling harder than you, that's living worse than you, but in their eyes, they might be on top of the world. So, you know, I wanted to share that testimony with you guys, and if ever you want to share a testimony with anybody, I beg that you do so. Marlon, man, it's so good to see you. Peace.
right, y'all give it up for Nine one more time. And then let's keep the applause going because Marlon is back in the U.S. It's good to see you, Marlon. So good morning, y'all. I am so excited about today. So we have been talking, well, let's do this first. This is Awakenings Movement. Oh, thank you, Michelle. And if you have never been with us before, then welcome. We're glad that you're here. We're glad to see your face. At Awakenings Movement, we typically read our mission and core values together. So will you all join me in doing so? Ready? Read. We catalyze human flourishing by cultivating spaces where people excavate divine purpose, incubate transformation, and inspire action for good. And our core values are innovation, authenticity, and beauty. So those are the filters that everything is filtered through, siphoned through for our work in the world. So we have all month been talking about scarcity and abundance, and it's been a progressive discussion. We started out the month talking about a scarcity mindset, and we've spent the last 3 weeks talking about sufficiency and manifesting, and so we're going to wrap things up with abundance. So our flow for today, we'll take a quick look to remind us about the path that we've taken this month. We will specifically look at 2 Kings. We've been exploring the scripture of the widow's oil. So we'll specifically unpack when the oil stopped flowing. And then I can't wait to talk to y'all about $74,214.18. Who would like that much money? Anybody? Woo! Everybody. All right, okay. And then we'll wrap things up with changing the dream and our vocabulary. So a quick reminder about the path. The path from a scarcity mindset to an abundant mindset has a stop, and it's called sufficiency. And a lot of times what happens is in a scarcity mindset, we think, I don't have enough, I don't have what I need, and so our initial reaction is to spend our energy immediately going to abundance. I need more hours, I need more time in my day, I need more money, I need more people to help me, I need more, right? So what we've spent time doing with the help of Danielle and Andrea over the last couple of weeks is really spending time in sufficiency and what that means and what that looks like. So today we're diving into abundance. So as I shared, we're going to talk specifically about the verse in 2 Kings when the oil stopped flowing. But before we do that, would you please join me for a word of prayer? Almighty and all vulnerable God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be here together in Jesus' name. God, thank you that you have called us not into a life of mediocrity, but into a life of abundancy. God, thank you for your blessings that you have given us today. Help us take the time to open our eyes and realize that this moment is sufficient enough. That your grace is sufficient enough. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, so let's revisit the scripture. Anthony, would you, I know Russell has a request when it comes to the podcast. Would you come and read this for us, but would you do it in the microphone so that the podcast listeners can hear us? Yes, please, drop the mic. Yes.
We would like for you to drop the mic.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. You know what I'm saying?
All right. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elijah and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you? Elisha asked. Tell me, what do you have in the house? Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil, she replied.
So I want to take, no, wait, there's more. Don't drop it yet.
My bad.
But I do want to take a moment and notice her response. She says, nothing at all except a flask of olive oil. And we can see the scarcity in the beginning, right? She's afraid that she's going to lose her sons. And so a lot of times when we're in this scarcity mindset, we think, I don't have anything except this. Like, this is our response, right? Like, we say this. Okay, thank you. Don't drop it yet. There's like three more slides.
Oh, wow. Am I still reading?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like I need to be like, nah, like.
Greetings, Awakenings Committee. Okay. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. Soon every container was full to the brim. I've been teaching Channing how to read with exclamation points. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. Okay. There aren't any more. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over.
Okay, now you can drop the mic.
Yeah. I'm not going to break.
Place the mic.
Y'all give it up for Anthony. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Anthony. So, insufficiency. The widow had what she needed, right? So we saw her response. All that I have is this oil. The sufficiency of her friends and neighbors created the conditions for her family's prosperity, right? So as we move through this idea of abundance and how we get there, sufficiency is a stop on the road. But we're going to really talk about the other elements that are required to move into abundance. And then I also want us to notice that when there were no more jars, the oil stopped flowing. Okay, so keep that in your mind. The overflow spilled out into her life as a direct result of collaboration. So there was no overflow of oil in jars. The overflow was in her family's ability to live and move freely, right? And I think a lot of times what happens is we see the oil, we see the jars, and there's no moment in the scripture, well, and Anthony did so well of, there are no more, right? Like, we see some emotion around what the son is saying, but the moment that there were no more jars, the oil stopped. Sufficiency, right? And at our core, we all want a nourishing life for everyone else, right? That truly is what we desire. But we stopped listening to our core and we started listening to our culture. And culture tells us that the pie is only so big, and if you get your piece, I will not get mine, right? That's a scarcity mindset. Collaboration says we are all haves. There are no have-nots. So part of what I shared during week one is I read this book called The Soul of Money, and it's by this author. Her name is Lynn Twist. And so I've combined my journey of getting my family out of debt with some of the principles that Lynn Twist shares in her book. And so one of the things that she says is that we are all haves. There are no have-nots. She also says, it's not you or me, it's you and me, right? And we specifically have been talking about money because it's something that we are uncomfortable talking about. It can trigger a lot of anxiety and nervousness for us. But this same concept of, like, if I give some of my money, then I'm losing out on something, is also a scarcity mindset. And what we've been exploring is this idea, money is called currency, right? And a current flows. And if we stop that flow and we start hoarding, like with money, water, anything, what happens is it becomes stagnant and it doesn't operate to its full potential, okay? Collaboration creates prosperity and it grounds us in sufficiency. So when we look at the widow, she had the oil and her community had everything else that her family needed to move them into abundant living. Collaboration changes the flow of energy and it frees us from the chase for more and allows us to make a difference with what we have. Let's read that together. Ready? Read. Collaboration changes the flow of energy and it frees us from the chase for more and allows us to make a difference with what we have. So there has to be, in order to live abundantly, there has to be sufficiency. We have to pause, we have to stop with an attitude of gratitude and say, this is what I have. Now, how can I take this and create and reconcile and make a world that lines up with my integrity and my intentions? It's a key piece to abundant living. In sufficiency, we celebrate the power to do good with all of our resources, including our money. Okay, so you're all ready to talk about the 74,214. I want to say this right. Because I don't say this number often, so I'm going to say it right. $74,214.18. So, this month, y'all, I have learned so much about scarcity and abundance. And Andrea was talking about manifestation. So I've been practicing some things. You've been practicing too? So I've been practicing some things. And I have been thinking like, oh man, like what would I do, right, in certain situations? So this week I logged in to my Wells Fargo account. And there was okay, you can see at the deposit. This is real, y'all. This, I can't make this up, right? There's a deposit for $74,000. $74,214.18. And so you see at the top it says Deuce. This actually went into John's account. His dad and I told him he's 15. Hey, Farrell. Hey, Chase. His dad and I told him that he has to save money for his own car, right? So if you do the math, like let's do some subtraction. If you subtract the available balance from that deposit, he was well on his way to riding around in a golf cart, basically, right? Like, so I log into the account, I see this, and I'm like, abundance, thank you, Jesus. It's working. Yes. And so, do what I say. So I call the bank, right? The lady answers the phone and I say, yes, I just logged into my account and my son's a checking account has over $74,000 in it. And she's like, what? I was like, yeah, that's what I said. And so she says, okay, I'm gonna look into this. Like, we're gonna figure this out. So I'm still on the phone with her. Meanwhile, I'm driving to Discount Tire because I have some piece of glass in my tire. And so I'm like hobbling in, but I'm like, man, my Kia, y'all, the rims that you're about to see on this Kia, like this is nothing, right? So I'm rolling to Discount Tire and the lady from the bank is like, yeah, okay, well, I see your name on it, Tia Norman. I'm like, yep, that's me. And then she's like, and I see your son's name, John Norman. Yep, that's him. And she's like, I see your names on it. So in my mind, I'm like, this is a blessing, lady. Like, yeah, stop looking at it further. You don't need to look. so she puts me on hold, and she's like, okay, let me put you on hold, and I'll be back. So I'm on hold for like 5 minutes, which is fine because I got all this money. And she says, okay, I have great news. And I'm like, yeah! Yes, like there's been somebody out there who's heard our story and they just blessed. This is great. She's like, we're going to figure it out and get it in the right account. So I am, I know what she's telling me. But everything in me is like, lady, you just don't know that that money is staying in my account. You just don't know that. You can go looking and look at, you know. So I'm not going to confess that this money is leaving my account. So it's still sitting in there. Ooh, so
oh my goodness.
The meal after, no, I'm just kidding, not really. So I have been logging into this account and I've been looking at this money and I have never had this much money in my life. So what I started doing is I thought, wow, well, this is a great opportunity to change the dream, which is a requirement if we are moving from a scarcity mindset to an abundant mindset. We have to change the dream. So I started writing checks. Kiana, you get $1,000. Marlon, your check's down there too, right? So I started thinking, the day before, I'm going to be very candid with y'all, the day before, my account, my personal checking account, had $25 in it. And me, I have had to be very intentional with where I tell those dollars to go, right? I have had to make every dollar do a job. And I have had to make sure that those jobs, that the job that those dollars are doing are living up to the desires that I have for my family and, of course, the responsibilities that I have. So I started thinking, like, all right, could I take that same concept that I'm using for these $25 and apply it to the $74,000 that's coming my way, right? Because, honestly, that the idea of having each dollar work for you is how I was able to get out of debt, right? So the principles apply whether it's $25 or $74,000. So I started imagining, all right, when the bank calls me back and tells me I get to keep this money, how will I spend it? Is it going to line up with the highest calling, right, that I have, that I feel applies to my life? So here's how we change the dream. You take a stand, and this comes to your time, your energy, and it comes to your money. A lot of times what happens is we think that the energy behind how we spend our time is separate from the energy of how we spend our money, and they're the same. We think that the energy behind our time is different than the energy behind our money, and it is exactly the same. There is no difference. So if you want to spend your time productively and in alignment with how you are called to live your life, our money also has to align with the productivity and how we are called to live our life. So you take a stand and decide how your energies and resources will be spent. We also live from the context of sufficiency. So we see this in the widow's oil. Ella is not here today, but for those of you who know Ella's story, Ella has built a business on sufficiency, right? Something appeared to be scarce. She opened her cupboards. She had what she needed. And now when we leave here, you can drive to Crumville, right? And then you take action to create reality. So when Ella looked at what she had, she didn't shut up the cupboards and be like, well, that's, you know, I got this flour and a couple chocolate chips and this and that. No, she got to work. She started baking, right? She took action. And then you change the conversation to enough. At the beginning of the month, we looked at how scarcity speaks. Never enough, emptiness, so busy. I'm just so busy. I'm just trying to survive. These are words that we have to remove from our vocabulary. Danielle shared a term with me this week. She said a word funeral. So these are words that need to be buried. The vocabulary of sufficiency speaks in terms of gratitude, fulfillment, love, trust. In sufficiency, can we be grateful for what we have? Can we find fulfillment in what we have? Can we trust that what we have is enough and trust that we are loved enough, that even though we don't see something in front of us today, that it's on the way, that it's coming, right? Respect, contribution, faith, compassion, wholeness, partnership. We've looked at collaboration and how it's a key to abundance. So the other thing that happens is a lot of time in a scarcity mindset, because you think you are not enough, you hide. But the way that we are designed to work is to collaborate. We need community. We need each other to move into abundancy. That's just the way that it works. So I changed when this month started and we moved into the offering moment. And we had been talking about money and the energy that it carries and that we get to decide the energy behind it, right? How our soul carries the stamp, how our money carries the stamp of our soul. I invited our community to give and sow in financially by intentionally deciding where your dollars would go and where they would work from you, for you. And so this is that moment. And last night, I spent a lot of time looking through my phone. Some of you got a text message of a picture of yourself from me, and I didn't say anything else. It's because I was going through my phone, and I was like, oh, this person probably needs to be reminded of this, right? So I sent it. So we are very fortunate in that we live in a community that is, or we live in here in Solace and Serenity with Awakenings Movement. We are experts at collaborating, right? So just a few weeks ago, when we moved out of the studio into Rec Room, we collaborated, right? The Awakenings did not have to spend a dollar for our move to take place. Robin, who's sitting here, she brought her trailer. Jeremy and Natasha brought their van. Everybody started helping pack up, and so we got it done. We have artists here who lend their talents, right? Give 100% of their talents to making sure that our children can see the possibility that they can live into for their lives. We have mothers who help our young women see what the future could be like as a loving, caring mother. And that's, what's Phoenix's baby's name?
Butterfly Kisses.
Butterfly Kisses, y'all. So there's Michelle helping Butterfly Kisses, right?
She's like a murderer.
We have a community of people who take risks, right? So I remember this moment. We had gone on a hike, and at one point during this hike, Siba and I had a conversation, and she said that she wanted to turn around. And I was like, Siba, come on, like, we can make this, like, you can do it. And so when we get to this crossing point, y'all can see there's a rope there, like, to hang on, and Siba let go. And you can also see Russell and Brian across there, like, hey, we have confidence in you, but if you wobble a little bit, like, we about to be in this water. Like, you're going to be all right, right? yeah, but that's yoga, y'all. So clearly it's yoga. But, you know, we get together and we have these experiences that are very memorable. And so God's dream for us is our real life. Like, this is the dream now. This is it, right? This is an opportunity. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And so this is an invitation to broaden our expertise in collaborating. We are experts at giving 100% of our gifts, of our talents, of the things that we have been blessed at, but we have a big opportunity when it comes to the 10% that we are asked to give. So this is an invitation to sow into the good work that we have all experienced here, and I am extending that invitation with the request of 10%. I am thanking you for the 100% that you give in every other area, and I am asking for the 10% in the area of finances. So this is the offering moment. There are baskets. We have the Secure Give app. And as the artists in residence come, then we'll move into... Thank you.